hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
The winning mindset. We all set, Danny?
Good.
You'll notice this verse on the top of the handout here. Jesus speaking fits right along in this series we've been in, Priority Mail. But I want to do a sermon that we don't have to change the background picture on from last week. Where we look at last week, we looked at the persecuted church. If you need a copy of that, let me know and I can make sure you get it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Again, this is the Lord speaking, dictating a letter to the Apostle John to give to this pastor. He writes to this pastor, "I know your works, and I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas..." Didn't you say something about Antipas, Sue? Oh, that was Antipasta. That's right. That's where this dude got this name. Someone put broccoli in his salad and he had a fit. And he ended up with the name Antipas. Antipasta. I thought that's how it came about. "You hold fast to my name and you did not deny my faith." Isn't that funny too? He says my faith and not yours. He didn't say you hold your faith. He says you hold fast my faith. I guess the faith is a gift, right, Darren? Your faith is a gift. God gave you the gift of faith in order for you to believe. Without it, you'd be like the other 7 billion people out here in the world today. So there's no error with whoever wrote this or translated this, and it's not a grammatical error, it's correct. "You did not deny my," capital M, "my faith, in the days of which Antipas," literally, that Greek word means against everything, or against everyone. "In the days of which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells." Okay, now I want to follow up last week's sermon on the persecuted church with a little something extra here today. We need help in this country to endure trials the way that they used to in the early days of the church. And not just then, but in the Reformation as well, when Christians were tortured and killed regularly for turning from Catholicism to the one true faith, where Christ is King and Jehovah God is the Holy Father. There's one Holy Father and it's God, not two. He shares His glory with no one. Now, I want to talk today about this faithful brother, as Jesus calls him, named Antipas. As history has it, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. So my question to you is, how did he do it? How can a person have the fortitude to persevere under such a trial? By the way, could you do that? Could you walk into a scorching hot kettle whistling, "I've got sunshine on a cloudy day"? Could you do that? What gave this man the oomph to stand tall under such a fierce trial? Now, as we examine that question, I want to go through the Bible and look at others who faced a similar trial and see how they did it. Turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel.
God bless you.
All the world hates the Christian. Okay. Now in Daniel's friends were forced to bow down and worship this image made of gold, 60 feet high and 6 feet wide. They refused to bow down and worship it, and word got out. That's the backdrop for this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. The king's name is Nebuchadnezzar. So here we go. Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn," this is Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band, as David Jeremiah calls him. "When you hear the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, do you fall down and worship the image which I have made? Good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need," or the King James Version says, "we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Now, the next three words here are key. Catch the mindset of these three guys. They said, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, neither will we worship the gold image which you have set up." In other words, let's not mince words here. And they don't even choose their words carefully like politicians do, you know. "We're not careful to answer you. I'm not going to carefully choose my words. Let it be known to you, we're not bowing down here. And here's this giant furnace, tens of thousands of degrees. And here's these three helpless," actually they're not helpless, because we're going to find out that someone bigger and better than them was on their side. "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we don't serve your gods, neither will we worship the gold image which you have set up." See, this is the winning mindset. This kind of attitude is what I'm talking about. This is what puts Antipas into the bronze kettle. This is what leads Polycarp, who we looked at last week, and inspired today's sermon, by the way, to freely let those from the synagogue of Satan tie him up to a stake and burn him alive. This is what leads all those from the persecuted church to suffer and endure persecution. Being out of their comfort zone is a way of life for these people. For these people, it's not a question of watching the Dolphin game or going to church. It's a question of, am I going to deny Christ and swear allegiance to Caesar so that my family can survive another day? What would you do? That's lost on us today, here in this country. What would you do if they showed up at your door, grabbed your child, and said to you, what would you guys do? Caesar or Jesus? You see, you ought to already have this worked out with your child or children. That you should have already taught them this and told them that Jesus said the time is coming, that they will deliver you over to tribulation and kill you. And it says, and then many will fall away from the faith. You ought to have the kind of relationship with your kid that when this happens and they knock on your door and say, Caesar or Jesus, that you look at your kid. then your kids, you were right, Dad. You were right, Mom. But you've already, you already know tomorrow's news here today. You already knew that because God's already warned you, and God wants to give you the oomph to get through this. And he does that by making your life difficult. Today, to get you to trust in him so that when these kind of things happen, you're going to do like what David did, what we're going to see coming up, and all of these other people. Where did these guys get this from? We're going to find that out here. The winning mindset. I'm going to show you how to win this battle every time. If you just follow my instructions and catch my virus that I have, I want to infect all of you with this virus. The winning mindset, I've called it. Let's cut right to the chase. Right at the beginning of this message, sometimes I want you to discover whatever truth God is teaching at the end of a message, but not this time. I want you to see it right from the beginning so that when we see it, we can see it everywhere else where we look. The winning mindset, and that is, God is in control. What can man do to me? Likewise with you. God is in control. What can man do to you? These three Hebrews had the virus. They were infected. They had the understanding that God was on their side and that no man could ultimately hurt them before their time. You see, no demon or Caesar can take you out until your work here on earth is done. You are invincible. You are an invincible Christian. No demon from hell can. Don't you think they would have already if they could have? God's got his hand on you because he's not done with you yet. And he who has begun a good work in you, by golly, will complete it. Did you know God is developing and producing this character trait in you, on the inside of you, right here and now, today, as we speak? And this is why he tells us to rejoice when it happens to us. Because God's the one responsible for it. Listen to this verse here, Romans 5:3. It says, not only this, but we glory in tribulation. You guys hear that this morning? We glory, that means boast. We boast today in tribulation. Paul, when he learned this, he said, I delight in sickness and weakness. Because he says, I've learned the secret that when I am weak, then I am strong. And when you're going through trials like this, understand, God is at work, and he's building you into a spiritual giant so that you can get through these kind of trials. Teach them to your kids. Have your kids learn and expect these kind of things. We glory in tribulation, and now he tells you why. Knowing that tribulation brings about hupomone, perseverance. Hupomeno in Greek means to abide under. You've heard me say it a million times. But this word, the word means perseverance, fortitude, oomph, a spiritual air of arrogance. It's a spiritual byproduct of two things which by themselves won't help one bit. But when you mix them together like hydrogen, which by itself will kill you, mix it with oxygen, and what do you get? You got a bottle of water. Same here. Take a little God-ordained tribulation. Add a little Paul Esposito-ordained, wait on the Lord, and humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and put it together, and what do you got? You got this. Let me crown you. I'm a 5'6" fool of my own. But with Christ and through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. All things he's called me to do. a lethal devil-stomping attitude, which says, bring on a furnace, Smedley. Bring it on. You know, do you really want to hurt me? See, you're a fool. If you really want to hurt me, make me endure 4 more years of Joe Biden. Now that is some serious hurt. Much more than, you know, prepare to meet your maker. No, you're a fool. You end my life here, you start my life up in glory. That's not suffering to me, but you got to get this mindset to know that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. And a trust that God's bigger than your problems. And then, you see, those guys, unbelievers, they don't understand that. Even if God does not deliver us, they said, let it be known to you. Let what be known to you? That if God doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you that we do not serve your God and we're not going to worship the gold image you have set up. The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude and a trust in God that he's bigger than your problems. That's what this is. A spiritual fortitude and a trust and faith in God that he is bigger than your problems. Here's one more, James 1:2. He says, consider it, the NIV says, consider it pure joy when you fall. How could he say that unless if Jehovah was responsible for it? Consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops this, hupomone. It is the testing of your faith is what gives this spiritual gavel here all of its strength and fortitude. It comes through God making your life difficult and you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means not cutting bait, to use a fisherman's term. Not cutting bait and running, but waiting on the Lord. Wait for him to deliver you through whatever it is that you're going through. Again, count it or consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Knowing that, again, meaning there's a reason for it. The testing of your faith develops endurance. You know, sometimes you might find yourself in God's dark room with all the lights out. And he's doing a great work in you. But let me encourage you, don't turn the lights on in God's dark room. Because when you turn the lights on in the dark room, it ruins everything that he's doing. Know and understand that these trials are producing something in you that will enable you to conquer the known world and take no prisoners with you. Next up, Psalm 56, verse 9. This is a long sermon today. That's why I had no music. Exercise. Psalm 56, verse 9. Next up, I want to look at the spiritual fortitude of King David. Let's look and see what this cat had. Listen to what he says. Psalm 56, 9. I'm reading in the New King James. He says, notice the when and the then. He says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. Do you believe like that? Do you believe like that? He says, when I call out to you, then my enemies are going to scatter. Do you have that kind of faith? And you can bet your sweet bippy what applied to David applies to every one of you. God's no respecter of persons. This is a promise for you. It's real as the Son of God is. When I call out to you, then my enemies are going to scatter. Listen to what he says next. He says, this I know because God is for me. This I know because God is for me. You see, the realization. Just come in. Let me bang myself on the head here. The realization that God was on his side was all that he needed. Once he caught this truth that God was for him, it's over then. It's over. It's over then. It's over. You're all go home. You just need to live your life with that belief and understanding. You can say it all you want, but when I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. David goes on, verse 11, Psalm 56, verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is that your attitude? It should be. If this is not your attitude, then you have identified your shortcoming. And that is, you fear man rather than fearing God. You fear man instead of fearing God. And if you fear man, you'll cave. If you are alive during this time and during this tribulation, or any old day when some crazy person knocks on your door and puts you to the... If you fear man, you will cave. This is the attitude Antipas had to have, if I could speculate. He's not going into this kettle on his own. He had to have the realization that God was for him and on his side. But of King David's attitude, there's no need to speculate because it's here right in front of you. He tells us how to do it. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. That is fear. Fear not, like Jesus said. And what can man do to me? And that's the verse I gave you earlier to put on your handout. Matthew 10, 28. Jesus said, I'll tell you who you ought to fear. You fear the one that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. He is the one to fear. But don't fear these fools out here. They can't hurt you. God is on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is no respecter of persons. He'll do for you what he did for David. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out. And sometimes you end up like Antipas did. But God is good nevertheless. Do you trust him like that? Like these others did. Regardless of the outcome, do you trust him like that? But if not, how's your mindset today? If you got the winning mindset, then to use one of my favorite sayings, look out, world. You'll be like the Apostle Paul that says, when he caught it and when he got infected, he said, what shall we say about these things? Then what did he say? He said, if God is for us, who can be? And it's funny, that's what David just said 1,000 years earlier. 1,000 years earlier, and Paul didn't say it because he read it in his Bible. He said it because he learned that to be true. That God was on his side. If God is for us, who can be against us? And let me say again, God is for you, church. Paul caught the virus. He had the Holy Ghost fever. The Bible says every hair on your head is numbered. Paul goes on, Romans 8:33. Now, these verses, they all start with the word who. So, who? They all start with who. He wants to know who. He's going to give you a list, and it starts with the word who. Who? Who? He sounds like an owl. How many licks does it take to get to the center of the who? 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 Listen to this. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. That is, he's saying, who's going to accuse you? God is on your side. Who's going to? God has declared you not guilty. Who's going to accuse you today?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Sing a new song.